Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd. Respected elders and dear brothers, the closing verses and the final verses of Suratul Hashr highlight two contrasting spiritual states that a person experiences. The first, which is a meritorious one, a praiseworthy one, an excellent one, is the state of taqwa. Taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being aware of Allah azza wa jal, that is the one spiritual state that a person may experience. The second, the contrasting one, is a blameworthy one. It is the reprehensible one, the one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as nisyan. Nisyan, another word or another term is ghafla. Ghafla or nisyan, which means forgetfulness, unmindfulness, oblivion, is also a spiritual state. It is the opposite of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the closing ayat of Suratul Hashr, Allah azza wa jal, he highlights both these spiritual states. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, O you who have brought iman, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Enter into the state of taqwa. That is the meritorious one, the excellent one, the spiritual state which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to enter into. It's a state that you enter into. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, develop taqwa. Develop the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's so beautiful about this ayah is we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued this instruction to us twice in the same verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah, develop the consciousness of Allah. Be Allah mindful. That is the spiritual state which you want to remain in. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Whether it is the December period, or whether it is the month of Ramadan, whether you are in the spiritual environment of the masjid, or you are holidaying at some destination, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Wherever you are, whatever time of the year it may be, remain in the state of taqwa. Allah, consciousness, and remain in the state of mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah. Allah has given us the instruction in the opening ayah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And let every nafs, let every soul, let every person consider, assess, study, analyze what it has advanced for tomorrow. And then Allah says again, wattaqullah. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter into a state of taqwa. Remain in the state of taqwa. So we find in the beginning of the sentence and towards the end of the sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues the same instruction. The first one, what is the difference between the two? Many ulama say that the second one emphasizes the first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to emphasize, not only draw our attention to it, but to emphatically highlight that it's absolutely for you to remain in the state of taqwa, Allah consciousness and mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you are not in that state of taqwa, then you are in the state of nisyan, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses later on in the verse. If you're not in the state of taqwa, and you are in the state of ghafla, the opposite of taqwa is ghafla, ghafla oblivion. And you are in the state of unmindfulness. You are in a state of forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So according to some, it is an emphatic instruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued. Some ulama say that the first instruction, ittaqullah, enter into a state of taqwa. And then the second instruction, ittaqullah, remain in that state. It's not a state that you will enter into only when you are in Haramain. When you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah and al-Madinah al-Munawwara, then I am conscious of what I wear, then I am conscious of what I say, then I am conscious of what I do, but the moment I get back home, then I'm out of the state. So you've entered into the state of taqwa in the month of Ramadan, for example. You'll never do in the month of Ramadan what you do outside of the month of Ramadan. So entering into it, that's the first instruction that's issued to you. But now does it mean because it's December period and many of us perhaps we take it a bit easy and we relax and the environment is a more celebratory one, it's a festival type of celebration that's happening around us, does it mean that now I have the permission to come out of that state? No. That's why the second instruction is given to you, that you enter into the state of taqwa through whatever means. Through whatever means, whether you went out in the path of Allah, and through that, you entered into a state of taqwa, it developed within you a sense of consciousness and mindfulness of Allah, or you sat in the majlis of a shaykh, and you have benefited from the nasiha and the talk of a shaykh, and you have remained attached to him, and you have developed a relationship with him, and through that relationship, you entered into a state of taqwa, or whether it was the month of Ramadan, or whether it was a hajj, or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rocked you with a musibah, and that musibah, that calamity, that loss, realized and jolted you and it forced you to enter into a state of taqwa. There are different means that Allah will allow you to experience in order for you to enter into the state of taqwa. But then what's the demand? Remain in the state of taqwa. You got to remain in the state of taqwa. You need to keep on focusing and you need to keep on identifying what are those channels and the means through which I may remain in the state of consciousness. And taqwa, because if you are not in that state, you are in the state of ghafla. It's either one of the two. The important thing that we need to note here is between the two instructions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued a third instruction. So you have ittaqullah in the beginning, enter into a state of taqwa, Allah consciousness. And then towards the end again, ittaqullah, remain in that state. And between the two, in the center, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Allah reminds you of what? Tomorrow. Referring to Al-Akhirah. Subhanallah, Ibn Ashur rahimahullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used any other word to describe Akhirah. Allah could have used any other word. But Allah used the word غد. غد means what? Tomorrow. Today we call it Al-Yawm. Yesterday was called Ams, yesterday. And Ghad means tomorrow. Why did Allah use Ghad? Yeah, Ghad, which means tomorrow, but referring to Akhirah, Allah is saying, analyze, study, check, consider, what have I advanced for tomorrow? Meaning Akhirah. Why tomorrow? Why Ghad? Why did Allah not say Akhirah? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not use any other term? Because As human beings, naturally, we are more concerned of what we are going to do tomorrow than what we are going to do in a month's time, right? Your immediate concern is what comes tomorrow. What you're going to do in a month's time, you plan for it perhaps, but not as much and not as eagerly, not as enthusiastically as you will plan for tomorrow. So to make you understand, Akhirah is as important as tomorrow. As important as tomorrow is to you today. As important as what you are going to do tomorrow is for you today. You already have a list of items prioritized for you tomorrow. It's already scheduled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses ghad for Akhirah to tell you, treat Akhirah as importantly as you treat tomorrow. It must already be planned. I already know what I have sent ahead, what I have advanced, what awaits me in the qabr, in akhirah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. You want to enter into a state of taqwa, Allah consciousness, and you want to remain in the state of taqwa, you must focus on akhirah. Focus on tomorrow. When you are focusing on tomorrow, We no longer speak about akhirah. Akhirah is more real than the ground on which we sit. Akhirah is more real than the oxygen which we breathe. Akhirah is so real. It's more real than the world in which we live. Yet we don't talk about akhirah. We don't speak about akhirah. Akhirah has become a fantasy. While akhirah to the Sahaba was a reality, they spoke about Jannah. All they wanted was Jannah. They only wanted to hear about Jannah. A Sahabi who had nothing, had no food to eat, had no comfort of this world, had no roof above his head, he would come in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and looking at his miserable state, of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell him, "What dua should I make for you? What dua should I make for you? Look at your condition." He would say, "Make dua that Allah gives me Jannah." Because Jannah was a reality. To us it has become a fantasy. We no longer make dua for Jannah. We don't speak about it, we don't read about it, we don't study it, but that's the destination. That is the destination. Many of us, we have a holiday destination that we will be heading to, insha'Allah ta'ala. Before we head to the destination, we want to know everything about it. The distance that we are going to travel, the climate, the amenities, the type of food, the dietary requirements, and so on and so forth. What about akhirah, which is the real and ultimate destination? So Allah is saying to remain in the state of taqwa, to remain in the state of Allah consciousness, keep tomorrow always in front of you as a reality, not as a fantasy. Think about it as you are thinking about tomorrow. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the contrasting spiritual state. So the one is taqwa, the meritorious one, the praiseworthy one. As for the reprehensible one, the blameworthy one, Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't ever be like those who forgot Allah. So this is the second state. We said that it is referred to the contrasting state. If you're not in a state of taqwa, Allah consciousness, and permanently in a state of Allah mindfulness and awareness of Allah, then you are in the state of ghafla. We are now living in a time, or that time of the year, wherein there is mass ghafla around us. Wherever you go, you will find that people are in a state of ghafla, oblivion, completely unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that time of the year wherein the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches a point it never reaches at any other time in the year. We all are aware of that. It's a fact. So we are entering into a time and a period of ghafla, mass ghafla. Wherever we look, wherever we see, it is ghafla. People are in a state of oblivion, unmindfulness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah. Now notice the difference in the instruction. There when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issued an instruction to us to enter into a state of taqwa, Allah did not say, Allah said, "O you who have brought iman, enter into a state of taqwa." Allah did not say, "Be like those who are in the state of taqwa," right? He said, enter into a state of taqwa. But here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of nisyan, and when He speaks of ghafla, when He speaks of the contrasting spiritual state, what did He say? He did not say, "Oh, you who have brought iman, don't forget Allah." What did He say? Don't be like those who forgot Allah. Meaning, very, very often, you will enter into a state of nisyan and ghafla by looking at those who are in a state of ghafla and doing what they are doing. I want to be like them. They are doing it, so I want to do it. So Allah did not say, don't you go into a state of ghafla. He says, go into a state of taqwa. But when it came to ghafla, He did not say, don't go into the state of ghafla. He says, don't be like those who chose the state of ghafla, who want to experience the state of oblivion and forgetfulness over the state of taqwa. Don't be like those who do that. Why? Because generally, we fall into a state of ghafla by observing their trends, observing their ways. And it is that time of the year where we will find many of them. Millions around the world are in a state of ghafla. And we look perhaps sometimes at them and wish to be engaged in what they are engaged in. وَالْعِيَابِ بِاللَّهِ Allah forbid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ Don't be like those who forgot Allah. Don't ever be like them. Don't admire them. Don't wish to be like them. Don't do what they are doing simply because it's that time of the year when they are doing it. لَا تَكُونُوا Don't. That's a reprehensible state. The state of forgetfulness of Allah, unmindfulness of Allah, that is such a dangerous state of ghafla. And it's so hard to come out of a state of ghafla once you have entered into the state of ghafla. Don't fall into the state of ghafla. It's so difficult to come out. Like we said earlier, you might need a hajj. You might need an umrah to come out of that state of ghafla. Once you go into the state of ghafla, it's just one thing after another. One experience of forgetfulness that leads to another experience of forgetfulness. So don't even head in that direction. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ What will be the outcome? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ Don't be like those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what was the immediate outcome? The immediate natural outcome when you forget Allah and you go into the state of ghafla because of the activity that was one that drew you into that state of ghafla, the natural outcome of that, Allah says, you will forget yourself. What does it mean you will forget yourself? Well, am I right? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ They forgot themselves because they forgot Allah. You will not have the ability, you will not have the ability to perceive, you will not have the ability to identify, you will not have the ability to pursue everything that is good for you and that will take you back into the state of taqwa. Can you see how dangerous ghafla is? When you go into the state of ghafla, you are deprived of the ability to come back into the state of taqwa. You forget yourself. That's what it means, you forget yourself. You forget yourself. When you forget Allah, you forget yourself, meaning you forget that which is beneficial for you, that will draw you back into the state of taqwa. It's such a dangerous state to be in, the state of ghafla. And it is that time of the year where many, many unfortunately slip, fall, and they go into that state of ghafla. To come back out from there is a very long and difficult and tedious tedious. It's not impossible, but it's a very difficult route back to come into the state of taqwa. What are the causes of ghafla? To avoid falling into ghafla, we have learned what a dangerous state it is, entering into the state of ghafla, oblivion. What are the causes? The primary cause of ghafla is environment. The environment and the surrounding. The environment and the surrounding. You will step out of your home during this time of the year, and perhaps every environment you go to will be an environment of ghafla. And when you are in an environment, naturally, it becomes very difficult for you to remain in a state of taqwa. Sometimes it's a recreational activity, which in itself is permissible. It's a recreational activity which is halal in itself. But the environment, right? The court next door, or the people within that environment, the environment is an environment of immorality. How are you going to remain in a state of taqwa when you are in an environment of ghafla? So the number one cause that draws you into a state of ghafla, unmindfulness, oblivion, forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the environment and the surrounding. Let us ensure that we are not in that type of an environment. It becomes almost impossible to guard the gaze when you are in that type of an environment. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna an-nadhra sahmun min sihami iblis masmum." The unlawful gaze, looking at haram. I'm engaged in a recreational activity, but there are others in the next court, or there are others who are spectating, and there are others who are in that fitness space where I'm working out, who I'm not allowed to look at. But you put yourself, so the activity in itself is halal, but it is carried out in an environment of ghafla. It's so difficult, it's almost impossible to guard the gaze. And what happens when you don't guard the gaze? A Rasul, in fact, we say Hadith Qudsi, the words of Allah, that every unlawful gaze, whether you are viewing something on the screen or you are viewing something while engaged in a recreational activity, or you are viewing something while you are out with the family, every unlawful gaze, a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, which he narrated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is a poisonous arrow that strikes the heart. And the heart is the what? The heart is the place of taqwa, right? We spoke about taqwa. The heart is the place of taqwa. And a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at-taqwa hahuna. The taqwa lies in your heart. And every unlawful gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's a poisonous arrow of the devil, of shaitan, which strikes the heart. It's striking what? It's striking the sanctuary and the fortress and the stronghold of your taqwa. مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مِنْ مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِي. If you will give up the unlawful gaze, Allah has said, I will create a state of sweetness in your heart that you will experience in your ibadah. You'll be engaged in salah, but you won't want to abandon that salah. Why? You enjoy the salah. You'll be engaged in dua, and you would want the dua to go on for as long as possible. Why? Because Allah has created within your heart the experience of sweetness of ibadah. Why? Because you took care of your gaze. Now when you are in that environment of ghafla, it's almost impossible for one to take care of one's gaze. What are some of the preventative measures that we can, that we should, in fact, that's absolutely necessary to remain within the state of taqwa and guard ourselves against the state of ghafla, unmindfulness, oblivion, and nisyan, forgetfulness of Allah. One thing we must do every single day is al-khalwa ma'allah. Al-khalwa ma'allah, have moments of solitude with Allah. Moments of solitude with Allah. Whether it is at the time of tahajjud, or whether it is before the fajr, or whether it is before you go to sleep, you must spend at least 15 to 20 minutes in the dark spot in your home, or wherever it may be, where you are engaged in the dhikr of Allah, moments of solitude with Allah. What Allah gives you during those moments of solitude, when you are remembering Him, thinking about His bounties, thinking about the spiritual obligations that He has obligated upon you, and so on and so forth, Allah gives you what He will not give you at any other time. Absolutely important. Al-khalwa ma'allah. Moments of solitude with Allah. These are moments that you must absolutely observe every single day of your life. Number two, quality family ibadah time. Especially now during the holidays. You have so much time with your family. Take out 30 minutes a day and sit with the family. Sit with the family, spending those 30 minutes in ibadah. The recitation of Quran. Everyone is seated together as a family, whether you are at home or you are at your holiday destination. Quality family ibadah is absolutely necessary. Because the environment out there is one of ghafla. That you have no control over, right? The environment outside of your home, you have no control over it. What's happening here and what's happening there. But the environment within your home, you have control over that environment. At least make that environment one of taqwa and don't allow that environment to become one of ghafla as well. Because then where will your child have the opportunity to enter into a state of taqwa, Allah consciousness, if there is ghafla within the home as well? So 30 minutes a day, especially now, start it in the holiday because now is the best time to do it. Engage in the recitation of Quran for 10 minutes. Then engage in some ta'aleem, recitation of a hadith, and then engage in some dua, or some adhkar, some dhikr in that time. Another important thing that we should do is having the right company. I'll conclude on this last point. The right company. Who we hanging out with, and who our children are spending their time with. What are the signs of bad company? Ulama have said, أَنَّهُ لَا يُذَكِّرُكَ إِذَا غَفَلْتَ. A friend who is not good to hang out with is the one who will not remind you when you have entered into a state of ghafla. When you have entered into a state of ghafla, he is not there to take you out of that state of ghafla. He is unconcerned of the spiritual state in which you are. Number two, وَلَا يُعِينُكَ إِذَا ذَكَرْتَ. And if you are in a state of taqwa, he doesn't advance you, he doesn't take you forward. He's not concerned of taking you to the next level in terms of your spiritual progress. وَلَا يُعِينُكَ وَلَا يَأْمُرُكَ إِذَا قَصَّرْتَ. And if you fall short in your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will never assist you, and He will never remind you, and He will never help you. So look for that company, the ulama, the sahaba in fact, or one of the tabi'een, when he would go to a place, he would make this dua, Allahumma yassir li jaleesan saliha. Yassir li jaleesan saliha. That, oh Allah, give me someone, I mean this new place, I'm here for a while, give me someone and allow me to enjoy the companionship of someone who will be a source of spiritual provision for me. So when traveling to a holiday destination, find, identify and search for spiritual provision. Someone from whom you can gain some spiritual energy, some spiritual sustenance, spiritual provision during your stay in that place, wherever you may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.